But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It remains to be one of the great oddities of the Christian church that the figure of Joseph, the husband of St. Mary and foster father of Jesus, is so commonly overlooked. The first Sunday of Christmastide gives us a chance to contemplate his role in the life of Christ, and so let us consider for a while this very important moment at the very outset of the incarnate ministry of our Lord. The moment in which Joseph learns that Mary, his new bride or bride about to be, is pregnant. His reaction to this revelation and his response to the dream in which he hears from the angel of the Lord. What we know of Joseph for sure, discerned from Scripture, includes very few things, but they are at least the following. Joseph was a carpenter. The Greek word, though, is technon. Basically, he was a tech, which does not mean necessarily woodworking in the ancient world as the word carpenter does today. And more than likely, it meant he was a stone worker. And if you've ever been to Nazareth or even seen pictures, you'll understand why stonework makes more sense than woodwork, for there are not many trees, but an endless supply of stone. From their visits to the temple in Jerusalem, we learn both that Joseph was a poor man, able to afford only the least requirement for offering. Luke 2:24 says they brought two doves. And also that while he was perhaps not a wealthy man, he was devout. He made that special effort to travel to the temple each year, which not everyone was willing to do. Devout, and let's say middle class, perhaps lower middle class. We also know that after the early mention of Joseph in the infancy narrative and of the portion of Scripture where we learn about Jesus being searched for and found at the temple when he was adolescent, after that there is no mention of Joseph really. Tradition has it that Joseph had passed away and left Mary widowed, which aligns with another element of tradition which holds that Joseph was older than St. Mary, perhaps even dying of old age before Jesus had come to be an adult, which would make sense of the fact that Joseph does not accompany Mary to the crucifixion, and why Jesus from the cross gives St. John to St. Mary as a son and St. Mary to St. John as a mother, and why the scriptures say, from that day, John took Mary to his house. Why didn't she just go home to Joseph's house? Because apparently Joseph was gone. Whether or not Joseph was truly a much older man, we learn that he was surely a mature man, humble and compassionate. He knew that if it was discovered that Mary had become pregnant outside of their marriage, and if he were to send her away carelessly, the law would allow her, perhaps the most severe punishment, to be stoned to death, or at least forever shamed. Then Joseph, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, which was an option, he was minded to put her away privily. Even before he received a message about St. Mary and the child that she bore, he was merciful and compassionate. And of course, we know that Joseph was approached in a dream and received the truth about Mary's pregnancy, that she was faithful, in fact, a better wife than he could have ever asked for, a better wife than he could have ever imagined. And as so many of us husbands recognize, the wives that we've married are better than anything we deserved. But consider for a moment a portion of the verse that we read over very quickly. But while he thought on these things, before he had a revelation from the angel of the Lord, he thought on these things. What things? At the very least, Joseph is a man who is newly married, or at least betrothed, which is a binding arrangement, and he has discovered that his young bride is already pregnant. That's plenty enough to think about right there. That is the stuff of a broken heart. Perhaps he believed he had been deceived, and by someone as innocent as St. Mary, you can hear him saying to himself in his own mind, "What an idiot I am. What an idiot. I must be the stupidest man in the world. Why did I think things were going to work out for me?" And for many, this would so quickly turn to anger and even rage, but not for St. Joseph. St. Chrysostom says this, "Do you not see here a man of exceptional self-restraint, freed from that most tyrannical passion, jealousy? In this matter, it was not a matter of simple suspicion, as the burden of Mary's own womb entirely convicted her. Nevertheless, Joseph was so free from the passion of jealousy as to be unwilling to cause distress to the Virgin, even in the slightest way. To keep Mary in his house appeared to be a transgression of the law, but to expose and bring her to trial would cause him to deliver her to die. He would do nothing of the sort. So Joseph determined to conduct himself now by a higher rule than the law." Joseph was willing to make himself look bad, to play the public role of a choosy husband who had changed his mind about Mary, sent her away. That's what the community could be led to think. This was a way in which she could best be protected, the law could be followed, and he, an innocent party, would bear the shame. This man, who we know was accustomed to hard labor, accustomed to devout worship, still approached his own embarrassment with self-sacrifice and compassion for others. The cover image on your bulletin displays an 18th century painting of Joseph. It captures the familiar weariness of a man who had worked himself to exhaustion doing what he thought was the Lord's work, doing what he thought was right, and feeling kicked in the gut, sleeping not at his bed, but at his workbench. One could imagine the words of the psalmist being repeated in his mind in Psalm 73 as he thought on these things, a psalm of Asaph. These are the words of a man who had done what he thought was right, and yet watched the world pass him by and mock him for his pursuit of good. Psalm 73, verse 13, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." Resisting jealousy, resisting anger, resisting wrath, taking others' burdens on himself, Joseph is pictured weary not from a day's work, but from a life's work. And at the moment that the angel comes to speak to him, he no doubt has been asking himself the hardest question of all: what am I even doing with my life? The angel Gabriel had come to St. Mary and called to her, "Hail Mary, highly favored one, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." But to Joseph, the angel of the Lord came to him saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You could make the case that the revelation is the same. Hail Joseph, highly favored one. Blessed are you among men, among husbands, among fathers. Blessed is the child that's about to come into your household. Joseph, you are not cursed at all. You are exceedingly blessed. Joseph, you are exhausted from resisting jealousy and anger and wrath and taking others' burdens on yourself. Take one crowning truth upon your life of sacrifice. Your pursuit of holiness has been worth it. But your life is not about you anymore. Your life must now be sacrificed for the sake of Jesus and for his mother. From now on, the labors you undertake are for Jesus. the money you earn, the labor you perform, the protection you give to Saint Mary, the shelter you provide, the parenting you give, the apprenticeship you can offer, it's all for the life that she now carries in her womb. Your life and everything about it is all now quite literally an offering to Jesus. The Magi will bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, but you will present yourself, your soul, and your body. And you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph, you can be proud. Jesus will resist jealousy, resist anger, resist wrath, and take others' burdens on himself like you have. You've done it for Mary and for God. He will do it for the sake of the whole world. And you will call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people, you and Mary included, from their sins. And you will call him Jesus, but this will not be his only name, for he will be not only Savior, he will be Emmanuel, God with us. We don't hear much more about Joseph. We do not learn much more about Joseph in the New Testament. The life of St. Joseph is one about which nothing is needed to be known until he came into contact with Jesus. His life of virtue was unknown until he came into that precious relationship. His concern for others, his compassion, his diligent labor, his self-sacrifice was no doubt pleasing to God. And yet, as the prophet Isaiah says, in a truth that is applied to Joseph as much as anyone else, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Joseph, slumped over in exhaustion at the place of his lifelong labor, is a picture of all of us in our works apart from Christ. But the message of the angel of the Lord who came to Joseph, the worker, is little different from the message that comes to us this Christmastide. Insomuch as you have acquiesced to the will of God in your life, insomuch as you have served the Lord, have no fear. Do not be afraid to continue. Do not despair, thinking your sacrifice has been for nothing. It only feels like this because the grand story is not about you. Take your place and shine your light on Christ. Do not be afraid to take God as your father. Do not be afraid to take the church as your mother. And do not be afraid to take Jesus Christ as your Lord, even your brother, as St. Paul would say to the Romans, and even as your friend, as St. John would tell us Jesus spoke of his disciples. The Psalm of Asaph, Psalm 73. Here's the man of God despairing at leading a holy life when it seems the world is having a good long laugh at him. It is not a new thing for a follower of God to struggle with such feelings, but the psalm ends on a totally different tone. As the psalmist is brought in to see the final end of those who are of the world and who pursue their own interests alone. Psalm 73:28. Here's the psalmist conclude, after all, precisely what Joseph concludes and precisely what we should conclude about a life of devotion. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. As it is good for us to draw near to God, so it is good to understand that God has first drawn near to us. In this place, our Lord and Savior Jesus is to us this day Emmanuel, God with us. Let us complete these final days of Christmastide, not despairing as one to whom the angel of the Lord has not yet delivered a message, but rather rejoicing as Joseph did to know that our labors are not in vain when they are devoted to Christ. The message of the angel is for us to receive just as readily as any figure of the Bible. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.